always appreciate hearing him. I love his sincerity more than anything else. I don't know, he has a way of always touching my heart. So it was a little bit maybe selfish on my part to ask him, but I'm glad he's consented to be here. I'm glad he's here. I'm glad his wife's here.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Said it was more like the Army volunteer, I think. Got the phone call. Tony. No, it was email this time, wasn't it?
I think it was email. I was emailing everybody.
Yeah, I was looking forward to coming up here just to cut it on. Cut it on. It's on.
Yeah, hold it down for like 5 seconds.
I think it's on.
Yeah, it was on.
Yeah, I was looking forward to coming up here just fellowshipping with the saints, eating ice cream, and just loving the word. Get untangled here. I ain't used to this, but let's start this out by going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Father of glory, Lord, our Savior, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all that you give us in this day. Lord, we thank you for that you gave us from before the foundation. Lord, we thank you for that you're giving us in the near or far future. Lord, we thank you for this. Being a member of this body, Lord, we're humbled in glory. Just not really able to fathom what you give us in it. Lord, be with me as I open this word and give me the message that you would have me to deliver to this body. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 1:17 is the topic. Well, first of all, there's probably a few of y'all that don't know me. My name is Robert Tony McCurry. You might call me Tony. But, I'm a barber by trade, and most of the time I will relate some of my life experiences into my studies, because being a barber, we see a plethora of people and personalities and religious beliefs that go along with it. Even have a fellow employee that works with me that is Christian. That's the best way to say it, because he does know Christ. But I've been in the truth 15 years. From day one, the first message, I knew what it was. And I was a Baptist. And after about a couple months, I was telling Candy, you know, Ronnie and Cecil deliver such an awesome message that it's too easy to understand. But this idea of hell, there's no way in hell they're going to make me convinced. Well, the Spirit worked on them, and that Sunday they gave a message. They was right. I understand what hell, death, and grave is, because the Spirit gave them the knowledge to deliver the message that I was able to understand. And through that, it led me to understand Scripture rightly divided.
Amen.
Okay, that's a little bit about me. Now this position I got, the coveted speaker after lunch.
You're the one that needs the BB gun.
I got my job cut out for me. But thank be to somebody's ingenuity, they decided to make it very light. So you're still hungry, and I know it. We've learned in the past when we fill you up, it's hard to keep you awake for the next 45 minutes. So, Bob, y'all did a fantastic job there. But again, thank you for allowing me to speak, convincing me to speak this message. But it's the topic is Ephesians 1:17, but I wanna read the entire prayer from 16 through the end of the chapter. In 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. These are saints that have not seen Paul in the face. These are Ephesians. This is a group of believers that had no hope at one time. This is a bunch of people that was lost in the world. But Paul, thanking the God of the Father of glory, that these people could understand this truth. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His saints in the glory of His inheritance in the holy places. Scripture says saints, but after deep searching, our teachers have informed us that it's holy of holies. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the upon heavens, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Mike kept asking me what my topic was. I don't know. I'm going with Ephesians 1:17 and 1:18.
That's a safe one.
But I am going to be expounding on the wisdom and the glory. And I just pray that the Lord allow me to do it as well as those speakers before me and after me. In Ephesians 1:17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, and as they pointed out, Pete and Ronnie, the King of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. In Psalms 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Amen.
Now this might not be the fear of being afraid, but more or less the respect.
Amen.
The respect of our Lord give us is the beginning of the wisdom. The Father of glory, the Father of that infinite glory which shines in the face of Christ, who is the true glory, the Shekinah glory, through whom also the glory of the inheritance shall be ours. The body of Christ. Those that believe Scripture rightly divided and understand this message. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. That breaks dispensations right there. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
Amen.
For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? There can be some stupid people out here that create their own wisdom about God. Their own wisdom about heaven. There is no respecter of persons with God. Because if He says it, it's a done deal. Just because you want to make it up in your mind as to who, what, or if anybody goes to heaven, it's not your call. This is God's call. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're totally of misunderstanding, like I said before, making up their own rules. For they are foolishness to him. God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
As long as we pray to the Lord our God and you keep Christ in our heart, walk in His ways that the Apostle Paul teaches us, the Spirit of discernment will help us, guide us, teach us, show us the way. Give us understanding. Psalms 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Can we say that today? And the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Well, that's two separate statements in one phrase. We know for a fact that our nation isn't serving God. They've been taking it out of everything that they can. We're comparing heroes to zeros and zeros to heroes. And by that, true heroes are counted as zero today by our media. And those sick zeros are treated as heroes today. by our media. They're perverting the truth. In Job 38:36, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? This is God speaking to Job. Or who hath given understanding to the heart? God giveth people understanding. Those that seek the truth in Christ will get the understanding with the help of believing teachers. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I'm not a teacher. I'm a barber. I can enlighten in side studies. That's what I like to do best. Speak in personal references with people. And to me, I feel like that's the way I'm able to teach, is the sidebars, is with personal testimony and personal experiences through life. But as far as being up here, expounding the Greek, it's going to be in Southern lingo. I'm here to tell you that right now. Mike might not like it, but that's just the way it is. But let's go. In Ephesians 1:8, I'm going to read 1:8 and 1:9. Let me turn back to Ephesians here. Ephesians 1:8. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the Holy of Holies. That's 18. I'm sorry. I'm down the list. 1:8, wherein He hath abounded. That is sophronismos. That's Southern now. Which is discipline, self-control, and a sound mind. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is believing saints that study Scripture rightly divided. And prudence is the only time it's used in Paul's epistles. It's phronesmos. It's intellectual insight. Okay, I'm going back to the world again. They don't have it. When it comes to Scripture and Christianity, they don't have intellectual insight to see the truth that's right in front of them. And I know tongue talkers are my pet peeve because they can't even read Corinthians and see that they're doing wrong. Paul teaches them that. They're blinded by today's Christianity teaching, which is led by Satan. Dave Bickle pointed it out very well that religion is founded by Satan, and he has jumped all into the Christian religion. But thank be to the Lord our God that He gives us the understanding, the prudence, the intellectual understanding to understand Scripture rightly divided and tell the difference. In Jeremiah 9:23-24, me and Mike use this Scripture when we open up a lot. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, For in those things, these things, I delight. Okay, the Lord delights in those that practice loving kindness, judgment. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to touch on glory. In 1 Corinthians 15:41, there's one glory of the Son. Another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. This analogy is not to prove different degrees of glory among the blessed, whether this may be or not, indirectly hinted at, but this, as the various degrees of light, which is so similar in its aspect and properties differ, the sun from the moon and the moon from the stars and even one star from another star, though all seem so much alike, so there is nothing unreasonable in the doctrine that our present bodies differ from our resurrection bodies, with an example that the body member will have a different resurrection than a believer to life through his name that is satisfied with traditional teaching. What I'm saying is that believers today, now this is in Tony's words, believers today are seen in retrospect by God with different degrees of light. We have those that have life through His name. They understand Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They understand that Christ came to this world for them and died on the cross for them. They have life. We have family members that are past that have life. Then you have body members that understand Scripture rightly divided that can add to that. God sees the body of Christ differently than He does a life member. A prophecy at the end of days by Daniel 12:2-3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. 3. That they be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. The adopted sons of God, who being devoted entirely to God and ruled by the spirit of prudence, point out the way of right division, rightly divided life to others, shall not only be saved themselves, but shall possess surpassing glory far beyond anything which exists in this world. What other blessing could you ask for than to appear with Him in glory at His appearing? Can't think of any. In Daniel 12:10 it says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. In 1 Corinthians 1:17-31. For Christ sent me not to baptize. I just went over this one several weeks ago in my Tuesday night studies on baptism, where Paul wasn't sent to baptize, even though he did baptize one or two. But to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. We can relate that to people today. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Careful of the consequences of the enterprises, measures, or actions, cautious not to act when the end is of doubtful utility or probably impracticable, the prudent man looketh well to his going. That's in Proverbs 14. And Isaiah 29:14 says, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be laid waste, or shall be hid, I'm sorry. And then continuing on with the Corinthians, where is the wise in 20? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. People today require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews it's a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, that are given this understanding, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. We see people all around us at home, at your home, you see people all around you that are noble, that are wise in their own belief. They're not called. They'll never see this truth. Possibly. But if they are chosen and they hear this message, possibly through pal talk or witnesses, those of you, because your witness is a teaching. You never know when you witness to somebody if they won't come to the knowledge of truth. But God hath chosen the foolishness things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, the apostle drew this up from Jeremiah. The apostle constantly used Jeremiah as a reference in his teaching. We can still use Jeremiah in reference because there's so much truth that's even in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah that we can use today because it's just doctrinally true even today. Here we go. Here's a question for you. Does God see glory in us. Some can say, what? You're flesh. There's no way God can see glory in you. Right? No. Okay. Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God said it. Scripture said it. I believe it. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Philippians 1:11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Who is that? Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So, again, does the Lord God see glory in us? Better yet, how would God see glory in us? Believe. Rightly divide God's word. By being adopted in Him. Being members of His body. Understanding His fullness. And last but not least, being chosen. Chosen is something we didn't do ourselves. Chosen is something He did for us from before the foundation. You know, I said that I've been a body member for 15 years, give or take a few years. I lied. I've been a body member since from before the foundation of the world. And when you understand that, that's nothing but glory. And God sees that glory in our humility. God don't see glory in people that are of the flesh that go around puffed up. I got a church on Sunday. What do you do? I've got fish in a pipe. I can. Ronnie's got a shirt that says, I'd rather be fishing and thinking about God than being in church thinking about fishing. Hey. What better can you be, right? Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? What is that power? Resurrection. The Apostle Paul pushes resurrection throughout his life, and I bet you he pushed it all the way up to whenever his demise was. According to the working of His mighty power. Traditional church members do in fact believe Christ is the Son of God. And believing in Him gives them life. But that's where right division stops. They don't even believe John 3:16 properly. They flash it all over the screen, but yet their life starts the moment their heart stops. Had a believer tell me, I shouldn't even say believer, had a church member, a church member, had a traditional church member tell me that if I have to lay in the grave for 5 years, 100 years, or 1,000 years, I don't want no part of that God. Right? That's when it happened, right there. Well, my jaw kind of hit the floor on that one, and I just turned around and walked away, because that's where nonsense just hit a block. There's no talking from that point on. It's kind of funny, and we got a laugh out of it, but it's sad that traditional churches are teaching so much sputum, trash. In Colossians 1:27-28, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Does God see glory in us? Are you a member of the church, the body of Christ? Again, I say, He sees glory in our humility. Look around you at the traditional churches. Does God see glory there? Don't count on it. If they are beacons of light within, like I said earlier, the different glories, our glory that God sees is more like a million candle power, and a life member's glory will be like a 100 watt, maybe. That's just me just rambling. But I personally feel God sees glory in the body, because I feel a humility glory in knowing His truth. What more could you glory about except knowing Him and the power of His resurrection?
Amen.
Sorry about it. Let's turn to Colossians 1:9-13 that Mike has already touched on. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. God's will is sovereign. Period. To be filled with His will and not man-made will. It don't matter what you want, it's God's will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy. We're to use Paul as an example. He uses the walk that we're to follow on a daily basis. He uses it in every one of his prison books. That's our example of walk. We don't have the Ten Commandments to follow that your church traditional churches try to follow. Paul gives us a pretty simple walk to follow. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Studying Scripture. Study. Ronnie's always saying, don't believe what I say, look for yourself. at home we kind of joke around and say, well, Ronnie says it, that's what it is. We do it just to get on Ronnie, just to make him feel old, brother.
Oh, brother.
In 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of this inheritance of the saints in light. I know you hear me pray occasionally. The first thing I'm going to do is thank the Lord. Thank God. Thank you. There's not a day that goes by, there's not within an hour of every day that I don't thank God for something, whether it's stumping my toe or barely missing my hand with a hammer or even hitting my hand with a hammer, I thank you. Because I could have hit something else. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Again, does God see glory in us? He don't see glory in Tony McCurry, but he sees glory in Jesus Christ because that's all he sees when he looks at me. I'm 3 minutes early, but that's the end of my presentation. I thank you. And Roger, you didn't leave. Oh, you did leave and get your shirt. I didn't even see you. But I thank you. I know you guys were praying for me because I could feel it. Thank you. Love you guys.